I'd like to call the Veterans Affairs Division to order. And Representative Luke, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And Representative Luke, while you're at it, will you approve the minutes for the March 29th meeting?
Yes, Mr. Chair. So moved.
Representative Luke, let's approve the minutes for the March 29th meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And we got, is it Representative Newton? No? Is he here? Representative Newton, we're going to go with your bill first.
Great. Afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
I'd like to, Representative Newton, move your bill.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House File 2624. The subject of the bill is military personnel permitted to retake the road test. This is a pretty simple bill, and it has to do with military personnel who don't pass the road test on the first attempt, but who are on orders or are moving, and rather than having to wait the prescribed period of time before retaking the test, they would have to demonstrate that they are on military orders and they're going to be away from the area so that they could retake the test. It's a pretty simple bill. There would be no cost involved because they would retake the test normally.
Okay, are there any questions from the public? Any questions from the committee? Looks like we're going fast here, Representative Newton.
I like that.
Would you like to renew your...
Mr. Chair, I'd like to renew my bill, and I'm not quite sure where the bill is going now. Is it going to the floor?
Or why don't I...
Oh, no, it goes to the Transportation Committee.
Why don't I do that for you, Representative Newton?
Yes,
I renew the motion that House File 2554 be referred to the Committee of Public Safety and Crime Prevention, Policy, Finance. Whoop. It's typo 264.
It should, okay. Mr. Chair, I believe go to the transportation. They're hearing it on Wednesday. Public safety.
Okay, I'll do that again. I renew my motion that House File 2624 be referred to the Committee of Public Safety and Crime Prevention, Policy, and Finance.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, committee and ladies and gentlemen, we have a special event with us today. And I would like our two guests here come forward to the table. And Rich, and if you could bring Francis and Al to the table. We're going to set up a video here also, if Sam would do that. Committee and ladies and gentlemen, not too often do we have an experience where we can bring guests into the committee to just recognize them for you know, their accomplishments and for service to our country. And I've got to know these two young men here for, I know one I've known for 30 years, I think, L. Ewert from Forest Lake, and also Francis Lockway from Forest Lake, originally from Williston, North Dakota. And something happened the last few weeks is that they were reunited after 70 years where they served in the same division during World War II. And I'll be reading their resolutions. Al received a resolution 2 years ago at the American Legion. I presented it there. And Francis, you're going to receive your House resolution today. But I thought before we get into that, I'd like to allow us to watch a video. So if Sam, you'd go ahead and start the video. This was Fox 9 News presented a video a couple weeks ago, and it's kind of went viral around and we're going to watch that now.
Every day, this next story is even more remarkable.
A pair of patients at a Forest Lake Rehab Center found out that they had a whole lot in common, and that was more than just being hospitalized for health problems. Maury Glover takes a look.
That old door.
Even though they were born nearly 700 miles apart, L. Ewart on the left and Francis Lockway on the right lived parallel lives. They're both 90 years old, were both drafted during World War II, and were both Browning automatic riflemen in the same infantry division, Tropical Lightning, stationed in the Philippines.
They're automatic. Got a 20-shell magazine. You can shoot one at a time, or you can...
They each fought in one of the bloodiest conflicts in the waning years of the war, the Battle of Balade or Dalton Pass, and both were injured in combat and awarded a Purple Heart.
People ask you this, and what did you think of the war? You don't. Everybody's in the same shoes. And do you have time to be scared? I didn't have time to be scared.
After the war, both moved back to the Midwest. Ewart to Mountain Lake, Minnesota, and Lockway to Williston, North Dakota, got married and raised families. But they never met or crossed paths until they ended up as roommates at the Birchwood Rehab Center in Forest Lake a few days ago.
It was crazy. It was just, you didn't know what to think. I know.
It was kind of ironic.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Ironic, why do you say that?
Well, you know, well, that's the first time I've ever, in 70 years, that I've ever run into a guy in my division, and I'm the first one he ever met.
Yeah.
Ewart and Lockway share a lot of similarities, but there are more differences than just their physical therapy regimens. For instance, Ewart has shrapnel in his left leg, while Lockway still has shards of metal in his right.
I don't have hair.
And you do, I guess.
I do.
Okay. Well, I got some growing on my chin.
You might think these brothers in arms would sit around sharing war stories all day.
What do you guys talk about?
Oh, no.
Whatever happens to come along.
Yeah. whatever girl walks by.
But now these former strangers feel like lifelong friends.
It's been good.
It's been real good, and it's so. So very, very unusual, you know, that, what can you say, you know?
We get along like a couple of old buddies.
Yeah, old buds, or young buds.
An answer to roll call.
It won't be long before Ewart and Lockway go their separate ways, but their parallel lives will be intertwined from now on.
It's not too often that this sort of thing happens, you know, that you, run into something neither one of us had no idea that this could happen.
Soldier boy.
And I want to thank Fox 9 News for, you know, coming into Forest Lake at Birchwood. And along with the guests that we have here, I know we have Mrs. Hahn, who's the daughter, wave your hand up there, Yannette Hahn is the daughter of Francis. And then we have Richard Hahn here, who is, I probably wouldn't have known about this situation if Rich Hahn hadn't called me. We taught together for almost 30 years at Forest Lake High School. He was being the band director, and but had a real heart for our veteran community. And he brought it to my attention that the two of you got together for the first time at Birchwood. And we also have Alicia Ralph from Birchwood Care. Is Alicia here? Yep, she's back there too. Thank you for taking care of these two young men. And we again, it's not too often we have this opportunity to do what we're doing today. So with that, I would like to read the two resolutions. I'll start with Francis's first, because it was just completed. I guess if we were in the military right now, we would probably have a call to order, but I'm not going to do that. Yes.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, Al.
I'd like to have you introduce my granddaughter.
Oh, your granddaughter. I'm sorry. Where's your lovely granddaughter? Okay, I apologize. And so let me go through the resolutions here. In fact, your granddaughter's name is Larissa Davis. Okay. Honoring the life of military service, Francis Lockwood. Make sure I got it right here. Whereas Francis Lockwood, Francis, I just learned how to pronounce your name today. Your daughter, it's Lockway, was born to Jack and Joseph Lockway and Cecilia Middle Higgins on August 14, 1925 at the family homestead 5 miles northwest of Hanks in Fertile Valley Township, Divide County in North Dakota. Whereas, like many farm families in the 20s and the 30s, the Lockwicks lost their family farm due to the economy and extended drought, and the family moved to Hanks, North Dakota in 1928. Whereas, in 1930, the Lockways moved from Gladys to rent a farm known as Freely Farm. Crops yields were low, and the Lockways worked hard and persevered, sometimes facing down additional challenges of severe dust storms. Whereas in the 30s, Francis worked in the National Youth Association for $3 per month and performed other jobs such as mule team driving, threshing, typing, and also played basketball for the Hanks High School and was an amateur boxer. And whereas Pearl Harbor was attacked on December 7, 1941. In 1942, Francis and many of his family members worked at the Vancouver Kaiser shipyards, helping to build ships and aircraft carriers for the war effort. In 1944, Francis entered the military service after being drafted, and in 1945, he experienced first combat in the battles of Balay Pass on the Philippines Islands of Luzon, where he was wounded in his leg. And whereas after recovering from severe malaria infection while on a deployment in Japan, Francis was honorably discharged, highly decorated from the United States Army on November 17, 1946. He returned home to Hanks and worked on a farm while also taking numerous jobs, including tending bar at Fieldman's Bar, Granoria. And whereas in October 1947, Francis met Lavilla at a dance event, and they were married on July 26, 1948 at the William County Courthouse. And whereas he and Lavilla were blessed with a growing family, in October 1962, Francis began employment primarily as a truck driver for the Coca-Cola Bottling Company in Williston, North Dakota, where he later became a manager, and Lavilla enjoyed the traveling and time spent with the family, especially after Francis retired. And whereas in 2005, Francis had honored a pinning second lieutenant bars on his grandson, Andrew Ferriter, at the graduation at West Point. And he also visited the recently opened National World War II Memorial at the Capitol Mall in Washington, D.C. in 2011. He and Lavilla moved to Forest Lake, Minnesota now, therefore, be it resolved by the Committee of Rules and Legislative Administration and the House of Representatives of the State of Minnesota, it honors the commands and commends the life and military service of Francis Lockway. And signed, Kurt Dowd, Speaker of the Minnesota House, Joyce Pepin, Chair of the Rules of Legislative Committee, and your state representative, myself, Bob Detmer. And I always like to say, I approve this message. Francis, I have your official one right here, and but I am going to read Al's also. This was presented to Al Ewert 2 years ago, honoring the World War II veteran Al Ewert. Whereas Al Ewert was born in 1925 on the Cottonwood County homestead founded by his grandparents. Whereas he grew up in up Mennonite, learning German in a one-room schoolhouse. And whereas Al was drafted after graduating from high school, served in the Army during World War II, and after 3 weeks of basic training, he was assigned to the 25th Infantry Division as a Browning Automatic Rifleman. And whereas Al experienced numerous episodes of grueling combat in the South Pacific, eventually getting shot and hit by mortar shrapnel in an ambush, he avoided certain death by playing dead for 2 hours until the enemy had left and the U.S. patrol found him and transported him without a medic to the 36th Evacuation Hospital for a total of 30 hours passed before receiving American medical attention. Whereas Al has been awarded the Purple Heart and Bronze Star, whereas upon returning to Minnesota, Al worked on the family farm and used his GI Bill for further his education. Whereas since 1962, Al has been active in the Lions Club, Veterans of Foreign Wars, American Legion, and he teaches flag etiquette to drug awareness and drug awareness to students in the kindergarten through 12th grade. And whereas he is well known for singing at funerals and veterans in Forest Lake and Spring Park and has sung the national anthem at the Twins game. And whereas Al has also counseled and sponsored numerous people through the involvement in Alcoholics Anonymous over the past 30 years. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Committee of Rules and Legislative Administration of the House of Representatives of the State of Minnesota that on the occasion of Veterans Day, was when this was presented in 2012, it honors Al Ewert, a brave soldier, is devoted to Minnesota, and a true exemplary representative of the greatest generation, dated October 4th, 2012. At that time, it was Kurt Zellers. Matt Dean was the chair of the Rules Administration Legislation, and myself, Bob Detmer, as state representative, Al. And again, I approve that message also. Thank you for your service. And we have some other presentations here. And Brigadier John Jensen, Brigadier General John Jensen, and Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, please come forward. And I know you have a presentation, and you're welcome to make some comments. There's a mic on each side. Welcome to committee. Would you just introduce yourself, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Good afternoon. Brigadier General John Jensen. I'm the director of the Joint Staff for the Minnesota National Guard. And joining me today is Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, who is the Command Sergeant Major for the Minnesota National Guard, as well as the Senior Enlisted Advisor. And on behalf of Major General Rick Nash, the Adjutant General, as well as the over 11,000 Army National Guard soldiers and the over 2,000 Air National Guard airmen in Minnesota, we thank you for this opportunity to help join you in recognizing and thanking these two outstanding gentlemen who many of us have just recently got to know a little bit, in part because of the Fox News report that you showed earlier, Mr. Chair. And so, gentlemen, I'd just like to thank you in part because of the great story that is presented in that small little clip. And for those of us that have served, the story that many of us have taken away is just a reminder again of the importance of a battle buddy and what it's like to have a battle buddy with you. And so I brought Command Sergeant Major Hogan with me specifically today because we served together in Iraq where we served as each other's battle buddy. And for those of you that are not familiar with the term battle buddy, the term represents another soldier that either the Army assigns you or you somehow choose, and that battle buddy you are responsible to and responsible for. And so for a short period of our time, Command Sergeant Major Burton and I were battle buddies. And the one thing about a battle buddy, though, once you become a battle buddy, you're a battle buddy for life. And so, gentlemen, what I took from that short story was, although you may not have known each other prior to meeting up in Forest Lake, now that you've met each other, now that you've spent some time together, you've now become each other's battle buddy. And that becomes a great responsibility, of course, to each other. The other reason, gentlemen, why I brought Command Sergeant Major Warden, because as you know from your service in 25th Infantry Division, a Command Sergeant Major works for a living, whereas I just talk for a living, so I thought it was appropriate that we brought the senior enlisted advisor with us. So what we have today, Mr. Chair, is a point for each one of our honored guests here, and it's the Adjutant General's coin, and it's presented for excellence on behalf of the Adjutant General and the soldiers and airmen of the Minnesota National Guard. So, gentlemen, again, thank you for that wonderful story. It reminds us all of the sacrifice that your generation made to ensure that this country continues to celebrate the freedoms and liberties that we have. So, gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you, General, Sergeant Major, Command Sergeant Major. And as we know, I learned the term about battle buddies. You know, you say, buddy, cover me. And I'm sure that will be done in the future with you, you two young guys. And we also have another presentation. Commissioner Shelato, Larry Shelato, if you'd come forward. Welcome, Commissioner. Would you just introduce yourself?
My name is Larry Shelato, Commissioner of Veterans Affairs for the state of Minnesota. To echo on General Jensen's comments and so forth, I've always used the analogy of the Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. The three characters needed something, a symbol of their courage, their brains, their heart. And now you're getting a couple of them. But on behalf of the 369,000 veterans in the state of Minnesota, you have just heard two stories. Two stories of valor, of courage, but most importantly, of serving. You answered nation's call, you went forward, you came back home, you reestablished lives and raised families and legacies, and therefore it's truly an honor. So I just want to thank you. Being a student of military history, where you were was not an easy place. So if they're quiet, if they're not wishing to talk about it, they are normal. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say thank you on behalf of all the other veterans in the great state of Minnesota.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Now, Al and Francis, and we're not going to give you an easy way out here. Remember I said up in my office that you could say a few words to the committee and to the people here, and please feel free to speak and talk about any experiences or any advice that you might have to us, this generation. In fact, we have several generations here. And first of all, Francis, do you sing?
Pardon?
Do you sing? Okay, I know Al's got a good voice, you know, and in fact, for the people here, Al does have a CD out on patriotic songs and so forth. He does have one, right, Al?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. I've got one of those, by the way. So, but I'll just kind of turn it over to you guys if you would like to just say a few words to the committee and to the people that are here.
Go ahead.
The mic, you might have to get close to the mic.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not one to speak. I just want to thank you all for giving us all this glory. I think we've had more glory in the last 2 weeks than we have in the whole life. But by the time we think it's done, something else comes. So thank you all.
Welcome. Now, I know Al's got a few more words, probably. Go ahead, Al.
Oh, don't give away my secret. Okay, here we go. It's a real honor to meet with all of you, to be here, and what this all stands for. I know in 2 years ago, I was keynote speaker at the high school to 1,600 kids. And I came, what I talked about mostly was World War II, the home front. How important it was. Everything was on hold. No cars were being built. Speed limit was 35 miles an hour. If you didn't use your car for service, you got 4 gallons of gas a week. And the whole nation in World War II was at war. Not just the military. It was very important that the military, of course. But all I know is when you get home, just the young personnel now, when they get home, whether they go back in the reserve or whether they just take a discharge, don't sit back and wait for Uncle to pay your way. You fought the battle. Now make sure you make good use of it. Join your different outfits. Join your legions, your VFWs, your DAVs, everything. It's so important, the Lions Clubs, the Rotary, anyone, get involved. Your battle has just begun. You have now joined a new family, the veteran. The veteran is a very important part of our being. And I'm proud to be one of them. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You know, committee and ladies and gentlemen, I was at the high school when Al spoke to the student body, and you could hear a pin drop. You could hear Al very well through the sound system, and they were listening. And I know you asked the students how many had someone in their family, whether brother, sister, father, or grandfather, that had served, and you'd be surprised how many of the students that stood up and answered that question that you presented to them. And both of you, it's just been an honor to have you both here. And I know that's and also the General and Command Sergeant Major and the Commissioner to come in and do the presentation. But it's just something that's special to our committee, and that's what we're all about as a committee, to do what's right for our veterans. And that's what we're all about. And thank you for your sound service and the words that you just presented to us. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Yes. I got to get Matt.
Okay, I think I have to reconsider the motion that we did with Representative Newton's bill. It was written up the wrong way. So it has come to my attention that the Committee on Transportation Finance and Policy would like to see Representative Newton's House File 2624. So what I will do, I will move to reconsider my motion on that House File 2624, be referred to the Committee of Public Safety and Crime Prevention and Policy Finance. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. I'll now amend my motion that House File 2624 be referred to instead to the Committee of Transportation and Policy and Finance. All in favor of my motion as amended? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you. Okay, next agenda item is House File 2868. Representative Pugh. Representative Pugh, I will I'll bring the House File 2868 to the committee. The bill was referred to the Veterans Affairs Division from the State Government Finance by Chair Anderson. So we won't be re-referring the bill to Chair Anderson. It will be returned the bill to her committee's possession. So why don't you talk about your bill, Representative Pugh.
Thank you, Chair Detmer and committee, for hearing House File 2868 today and on such a special day honoring our World War II veterans. It's just really, really amazing. My bill speaks specifically to expanding affordable dental care for veterans, and I'm very excited about this bill and believe that you will be too. As you can see, I have several testifiers here with me today who you'll hear from in a minute. And members, I'm not sure who is more, who learned more throughout this process. These amazing students from Concordia University in St. Paul, or me, a second-term state legislator. It's been a remarkable experience. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to amend the bill before we go much farther.
Representative Pugh, I see we have the A1 amendment, 2868 A1 amendment.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And we actually have within the text of that amendment one slight modification that I think can be taken care of in an oral. If I could ask Mr. Shepard to address this matter.
Okay, Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair and Representative Pugh, yes, on line 8 of the amendment, it refers to a tax credit, and it actually is a tax subtraction. So it should have the word subtraction instead of credit.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair? Yes, so there's that amendment, and then afterwards I have one other in addition, a slight oral amendment, not specific to that. So if we could move that first, I would appreciate it.
OK, Okay, all in favor of the verbal amendment on line 1.8, instead of tax credit, a tax subtraction. All in favor of that verbal oral amendment?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Moved. Now you have one more amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually have a very slight oral amendment, and it would be on line 1.12, and I would like to amend that. That line starts with update and publish the list of providers annually. And the oral amendment I would like to make is that I would like to strike the word annually, and I would like to insert on an ongoing basis.
Do we have that? Why don't you repeat that?
Mr. Chair and members, the amendment would be on page 1, line 12, delete annually and insert on an ongoing basis.
Okay, so all in favor of that oral amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? Amendment is adopted. Now we have to look at the whole amendment. All in favor of the H2-2868-A1 amendment as amended? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Let's go with your bill now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So a little bit of background. On February 2nd, I received an email from one of the students, I don't know if Joshua is here today, who informed me that Concordia was one of Minnesota's yellow ribbon campuses, and that his political science class, which included a number of veterans, had an idea for a bill that they'd like to discuss. They'd research legislative members looking for one who was passionate about helping students and veterans, and they told me they selected me. And so I cannot tell you guys how humbled and honored I was that I got that email, and excited to get to work on behalf of these students. In fact, just today I received from Jerry, I've been asking him for this button for weeks. You've seen him wearing this, the fun meter, and you can see that I've dialed it to like off the charts green. That's how I feel about this bill. So since February, the first part of February, we've been working feverishly, and the support in navigating the process that I've received from those with far more expertise than I was simply amazing. This would be a perfect time for me to acknowledge the support that I received from Chairman Detmer, Ben Johnson of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and from Jeff Diebel, our House nonpartisan research. Jeff couldn't be here today, but all three of those men are veterans. From Adam Seidel, our committee administrator, and Brian Cook of our research team, not to mention Senator Bruce Anderson, and I saw that he was here. I'm not sure that he is, but Senator Anderson is also a veteran, and he got the ball rolling with the first committee hearing in the Senate, and I'm just so grateful for that and to each of every person who helped with this. So we've had several large group meetings. The young men also presented their idea at MAG, which is the Military Action Group, a group of coalition partners that come together on a monthly basis. They presented their idea. They gained a lot of input, encouragement, and support from everyone in attendance. They sent countless emails. They made countless phone calls. And they even worked this around their spring break at Concordia. So I think that's pretty impressive as well. Our first draft included tweaking the thresholds for the State Soldiers Assistance Program, which is referred to as the SSAP, to make it far more accessible for veterans like one of our testifiers today, and it had an appropriation of $2 million. However, the realities of a short session, one of the shortest I understand in 70 years, it not being a budget year, and the fact that tweaking an established program like the SSAP, which grants veterans and their dependents housing, optical, education, hearing aids, in addition to dental, was simply not simple or not realistic this session. So we're here today having amended the bill, removing the reference to SSAP, and unfortunately removing the appropriation. But what I'm most excited about is that we've added language to create and promote charity care, a charity care provision, so that dental providers throughout our state who are willing to provide services to veterans at no charge or at a discounted rate, of which I absolutely believe there will be many, will receive tax, not credits, but subtractions for having done so. So members, that in essence is my bill. And now, Mr. Chairman, what everyone has been waiting for is to hear from the students themselves with regard to their bill. So if I could ask if we're ready to receive their testimony.
Yes, Representative Fugue, and whoever wants to go first, please introduce yourself for the record.
Good afternoon, Chairman Detmer and committee members. I am Ryan Olson, Concordia St. Paul student. Thank you for the privilege of testifying today on House File 2868, which was heard with zero opposition last week before the State Senate House, Senate State and Local Government Committee. I'm incredibly proud of this bill as students have worked for over 6 months. We have researched every possible angle to find a solution to emergency dental care for veterans, especially student veterans, after knowing what happened to our classmate, Marine and now veteran, Hank Goff.
Good afternoon, Chairman Detmer and committee. My name is Hank Goff. I was a four-year Marine in the active duty. I served in Afghanistan for two deployments. After the Marine Corps, I went back, came home, and used the GI Bill and enlisted in, at Concordia St. Paul, where I've been going to school for the last 3 years. My last year in the Marine Corps, I was sent to dental for routine checkup. They gave me a filling, and about 3 years after being out, that filling rotted from the inside out, and I was forced to go to the dentist for an emergency procedure. When I got to the dentist, I thought it was going to be about $500 or something out of pocket. When I got to the dentist, I was forced between a $6,000 root canal or $1,000 to pull the tooth. And, you know, being a college athlete and, you know, just in college, I don't have that much money sitting around. So I was forced to just go with the lower option, so I got my tooth pulled. And, you know, it's still $1,000 out of my pocket. But today we are going over this program, hopefully making it a little easier for students to receive, you know, when it comes down to something like this, students can receive the help they need without breaking the bank. And just thank you for hearing our testimony.
Thank you. And one more testifier.
Chairman Detmer and committee members, my classmates and I have spent the last 5 months researching Minnesota's current veteran options, and have discovered an easy legislative fix that would open up access to the Minnesota State Soldiers Assistance Plan to all veterans, past, present, and future. Minnesota service members and veterans have two chances to receive dental benefits through various programs already established. The first being they automatically get dental benefits if they have a 100% rating from the VA. Or secondly, through the Minnesota State Soldiers Assistance Program. Currently, the SSAP program is funded at $5.6 million, but is not just covered does not just cover dental. The SSAP offers limited dental coverage by three possible programs with a voucher up to $3,000 a year, with various very restrictive eligibility thresholds. Basically, the thresholds include a $1,300 monthly income or $3,000 in assets. Anything over those, you become ineligible. Take Hank's situation, for example. Here we have a college veteran who's busting to make ends meet after giving his unbelievable leadership and service, but his financial aid, loans, grants, and scholarships immediately make him ineligible for this program. According to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, in 2014, Minnesota had over 369,000 veterans, including 15,000 student veterans, like my two classmates. It appears approximately 15,000 to 184,500 Minnesota veterans could qualify for our pilot program.
Good afternoon, Chairman Detmer and committee members. I am Rich Kelly and a former teammate of Hay Golf. Besides being a political student at Concordia University, the willingness of Minnesota veterans to sacrifice for our country has earned them our last gratitude. Even as state legislators and state employees, you have access to dental insurance. But here we have American heroes that cannot get a root canal without breaking the bank. We thank Representative Pugh and Senator Anderson for being our chief authors and working with us to find a reasonable solution and an easy fix. Our legislation does two things. One being that lifts the current thresholds and ensures special assistance grants authorization to cover emergency dental care for veterans. Number two is that it gives Minnesota dentists a charitable tax credit for dentists who provide care to veterans, filling the gap of the 3,000 vouchers to the current dental care price. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and it's time to give the veterans this benefit. We are ready for any questions.
Okay. Are there any questions from the committee or questions from public? Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
I have one for the record. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have one for the record. I just wanted to verify that we're talking to golden bears and not cobbers. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Correct.
Correct.
And just a comment too. I know I think I sat in one of the meetings when you came to the state office building here, and it was great to see, college students come in and take an interest in legislation and bringing it, working on it, and making changes in the original language that you had. And I know I gave you some advice and some different things, and I'm sure that Representative Pugh did the same thing. But Representative Pugh, any last comments?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Well, I just want to say, this has been such a remarkable experience, and I'm so grateful for all the support that I've received from so many along the way. Like I said to begin with, I am pretty sure who's learned more throughout this process, and that would be me. I'm looking forward to continuing my work in this area. I mean, as excited as I am that we have the potential to move something forward to really assist our veterans, I'm disappointed at the same time that I couldn't do more. But for the reasons that I said, here we are, not in a budget year. Here we are with this really small window of opportunity to act. And I think the biggest learning experience that I had was with regard to the SSAP and how, as much as we would have liked to think that we could just tweak this to expand, lower the thresholds, and expand accessibility to veterans, what I learned is it's really not a simple fix, but a lot of great ideas have become of this. So I see this as just a beginning, and I look forward to continuing to work with maybe the next class, maybe these students, or whomever, to expand that veterans' benefits going forward. So I would just ask that, I'm not certain exactly what the status of this bill is. I believe that it is still...
I will announce it in 1 second here. The bill will be referred as amended back to the Division of State Government Finance by Chair Anderson. Mm-hmm. So that's where it will be. So any other comments? Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I will now turn over the gavel to Vice Chair Hancock.
Thank you. Now before us, we have House File 3109,
Chair Detmer, would you care to move your bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair, and I bring House File 3109 before the committee and move it that it be re-referred to the Committee on Government Operations and Elections Policy. And I also have an amendment, the A1 amendment.
I think we'll take the amendment to get it in the form that the
that's right. I just wanted to make sure that it was in the form that I would like to have it in, and I would move the A1, the 109 A1 amendment.
Very good. Are there any questions on the amendment? Or would you care to explain it a little bit further, Representative Detmer?
Well, it's pretty self-explanatory. We just wanted to make sure that the work that we've done in the past with veterans-owned small businesses, that the language in the bill follows what we've done in the past. And I feel that this language will help us have a clear picture of where we want this bill to go.
Sure. Any questions on the A1 amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Passes. To your bill, Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. The bill makes changes in the state contracting preferences for businesses owned by women, people of certain minority groups, people with substantial disabilities, and also veterans, and the businesses located in economical disadvantaged areas. And I think over the years, as you know, I've worked pretty tirelessly on getting our veterans-owned business legislation passed, and now our veterans can be certified right here in the state, our veterans-owned small businesses, and I think there's some progress being made at the federal level, too. So a bill has passed in the House and now in the Senate regarding veterans-owned small businesses, and we just feel that this bill here will help not only targeted groups, but also veterans businesses. And I have two people here that would like to testify. And we have Alice Roberts Davis. Welcome.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members, for the record, I am Alice Roberts Davis. I am an assistant commissioner with the Department of Administration. And it is my pleasure to be here today. I'd like to thank Representative Detmer for assisting with this legislation that we believe will really improve outcomes for veteran-owned businesses and state contracting. This proposal is the result of a year-long dialogue with the small business community on how we can ensure that our established preference program really works for small businesses that are owned by veterans, minorities, women, and people with substantial physical disabilities. Just by way of a little bit of background, last year, Governor Dayton established the Diversity and Inclusion Council, including the Contracting Practices Committee. The Contracting Practices Committee is a group of about 40 individuals from industry, from small business owners, academics, and we do have several representatives from the veteran community on the committee as well. We meet monthly, and we talk about issues that face small businesses and contracting, come up with solutions, and then bring those forward in a report that we publish to the governor twice annually. Also last session, Governor Dayton, and with this legislature's help, passed a budget recommendation for additional resources, which allowed us to establish the Office of Equity and Procurement within the Department of Administration. And in that office, we've been able to really drive forward a lot of the programming that we need in order to help small businesses thrive in Minnesota. In your packet in front of you, you'll see a detailed breakdown of some of the things that we've done over the last 6 months since the establishment of the Office of Equity and Procurement. Representative Detmer mentioned that we began certifying veteran-owned businesses in the state of Minnesota. We've also certified about an 18% increase in businesses over the last 6 to 9 months. And then most recently, about 3 weeks ago, we hosted an opportunity fair that was held over at the Department of Revenue. We invited small businesses from all over the state, and we had representatives from purchasing from every agency within the enterprise to talk about what opportunities are available for small businesses, and had great success, had more than 300 people who came and learned about opportunities for small businesses. So There are two key components of this proposal. The first, as Representative Detmer said, is it would align our business purpose program so that subcontracting goals for veteran-owned businesses on larger projects would be established. And then second, it will allow for the direct select of certified small businesses on small contracts. So a little bit more detail on that. If the commissioner is able to set subcontracting goals for veteran-owned businesses, prime contractors will be required to select targeted group businesses, including veteran-owned businesses, for subcontracting opportunities. In addition, it would allow for the commissioner to enforce that purchasing people can direct select a veteran-owned business, minority-owned business, woman-owned business, up to $25,000 without going through the full solicitation process. And we really believe that that is a barrier that we could break down for small businesses, because that will appeal to the efficiency that a lot of procurement professionals seek in their day-to-day business. So the likely result will be more state contracts under $25,000 going to small targeted group and veteran-owned businesses, which is really what we believe is the sweet spot for some of the smaller businesses in procurement contracts.
Thank you, Assistant Commissioner. Are there any questions? Representative Detmer.
Okay, I think we have one more person that would like to testify. We have Mr. Jerry Kaiser.
Mr. Kaiser, please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jerry Kaiser. I'm the Vice Chairman of the United Veterans Legislative Council, which has 29 veteran organizations in its organization, and we are kind of an organization that looks for legislative things to make Minnesota more veteran-friendly and business-friendly. And I'm also the co-chairman of the Military Action Group. We wholeheartedly support this change, and the big one part of this is that in the statement here that the commissioner may establish the financial incentive for prime contractors. It is really essential that that is there, that that entices those large corporations to step above and beyond what they're already doing and just make an, have it, give them an incentive for doing that. Now, I don't have the details of what those incentives are, but Alice here has done a great job at running the program, and we are very pleased with what Representative Detmer and her have come up with. So, thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Any questions from the committee? Is there anyone in the audience wishing to testify? Representative Detmer.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. It's wouldn't it be nice that all committees that we're on would go this smoothly, you know? But this has definitely been a special day for this committee. But Mr. Chair, I renew my motion that House File 3109 be re-referred to the Committee of Government Operations and Elections Policies. And that's what I would like to my motion.
Very good. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Representative Detmer.
And just to wrap things up here, I think we're going to let you adjourn the meeting because you've got the gavel. But I would also like to bring forward, you know, we recognize the World War II veterans today, and I'd like to also recognize Helen Roberts' father, who passed away just a couple weeks ago, and World War II veteran. And I know how special he was to you. But I just wanted to do that from our committee. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think, well, Specialist Kaiser is there, that perhaps he can tell us about the award that he's about to receive.
That's great. Go ahead, Jerry. Jerry received a special award, and he'll be heading out to Ellis Island for this special award.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, you caught me flat-footed. I usually have something to say, but I was nominated by a a previous recipient of the Ellis Island Medals of Honor. It's a organization. You could look it up. It's NECO.org. It's quite a situation. I did not really know about this organization until the recipient from the years before had nominated me, and it entails people who are from ethnic backgrounds who've immigrated to the United States. Well, my ancestors came here in 1755. He was a German mercenary hired to fight the British in the French and Indian War, and my family's been in every war since. And on my mother's side, I come from Scotland in 1850. So this organization nominates 1,200 people who are U.S. citizens who have either immigrated or been families in the United States for many years for their civic and philanthropic programs. And I was kind of felt taken back at six former presidents, ambassadors, some of my Vietnam commanders, Schwarzkopf and Colin Powell, and ambassadors. It's just all these high-ended people. And I told them that I kind of felt out of my pay grade because I don't make much money, but I do give away a lot of other people's money. And it's in the organizations that I belong to, the United Veterans Legislative Council and the Honor Flight Twin Cities. We take World War II veterans to Washington, D.C. So I'm representing all those organizations that we're involved with to support what great Minnesotan veterans and military are. And I'm really have to say that it's kind of beyond my comprehension what this is. We have to go to Ellis Island on May 7th for the inauguration, that's what they call it. And there's put on by that organization, Ellis Island Medal of Honor. And I have to stay at the Carlton Hilton or whatever that is. And it's a big thing for 3 days, big party, and they bring in, it's the 30th anniversary, so 3,000 other recipients have been given this. And I'm one of them out of the 100 this year. They had 1,200 people who were nominated, and gosh, I thought I had a 9% chance, so just count me out. But I'm delighted to be involved and happy that I can represent the state of Minnesota. Thank you.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Anything else? Okay, we are adjourned. Wow.